Hello?
But I think we need to be open to more negotiations.
So nothing is written in stone at the moment. There's still
Nothing's written in
so they're
stone.
still negotiating. So you agree
Yes,
then,
I don't think it matters goals in terms of
okay,
negotiation. We
but
should sit down and negotiate. You see, we want it to be a negotiation rather than a dictate that, look, this is what we want or else. I prefer it to be a negotiation process.
So Wayne, let me
We have
ask
to
you,
still respect the workers. Yes,
Wayne, let
ma'am.
me ask you this. So basically, because what I was saying earlier is that even though Mr. Marie said earlier, yes, we know that overtime is not a must. It's not nothing is promised to you. I get that. But I also understand what you call legitimate expectations, where if a man has been working, getting overtime, his bills and so on and so forth were normally covered. If it is, you can't give overtime. And you come in and you say, well, okay, we're going to give you an incentive, as you said, something that will help motivate them. Because once that overtime is taken, once there's no triple time on Good Friday and time and a half and all of that is gone, your productivity is going to go down. You don't need
And
to
it
be
could
a
tell you morale
psychiatrist to know
sanitation personal
that.
getting at all time low. The morale at sanitation is low. The energy invest we have to scurry across those kit, those cans and do it quickly.
So
I can tell they are
are
frustrated
they looking
because
at
I will
shift
tell you this.
system? Are they looking at shift system, by the way? Or that was not that's not on the cards. Day and night,
But the
day and night
sanitation, do you
work.
know the sanitation? I'm going to show you the commitment of these workers that you probably I may not be aware of. The workers years ago introduced a low four shift system. You know what the workers did when they were in charge of trucks and they're still a bit short? They decide to come in 2 o'clock a morning, usually to midnight, to ensure every man gets a truck to work. Or they realize that over the 5 days they have a four shift system. So over 5 days, 5 4s is 20 shifts. You have a 4 day shift. This is the extent of commitment. And they said, okay, even with the Monday to Friday arrangement, they cram shift system into that so that they come out. What they do, they come out and they are ensuring that every person gets a truck to go there to clean the garbage. Now, if they scale that and say, okay, well, we are being forced, this 507 is forced upon us. You know what we will do? Two shifts a day and let it spread. You really see productivity will not necessarily increase. Okay, they are doing the impossible right now by cramping the shift system into the 5 days to do as much work in those 5 days
Between
that
8:30,
even.
yeah, 40 hours,
That even
40.
is more work in terms of contact hours than even spreading it over seven. But what I want the public to understand, sanitation has not refused to work weekends. It's just that they're saying the 40-hour extended over 7 days does not help the normal householder. Has a policy to put it across the board, will not see any significant increase in garbage collection for the average household. That's what they're arguing because 40 hours is still 40 hours. And because they come out on Saturday, 40 hours is still 40 hours within your schedule, the
So
shift that
basically,
you've
what you're
given.
saying to me is the money seems to be more the issue, but people are not thinking about the service because the service realistically is not
The
going to
service is a
improve.
priority.
No, but the
And
service
not only
obviously will
that,
not be improved if you even if you spread it 7 days, 40 hours is still
yeah,
40
will not be
hours.
significantly improved. So the households are being misled to think that automatically, when you spread out 40 hours over Saturdays and Sundays, they will see an increase in garbage collection. And see, this is being missed. There's a lot
But
of
what
misinformation going on
SSA
here.
would see would be a savings in terms of money, basically,
But
because then they
yes,
wouldn't have to
basically a
pay.
savings in
So
terms
you
of
can't
money. But in terms of the
sacrifice.
health and the. Right,
You can't sacrifice.
exactly.
You gotta find a balance because
Well, the
you
workers
can't
are asked for a
compromise the
total
service.
sacrifice of everything they would have gained over the years. And you know what? They feel threatened because they're hearing you're unreasonable, you're unconscionable. This is about overtime. And all those misleading statements got the general public believing that sanitation workers are refusing to come out weekends and that is about overtime and that they are unconscionable. I will tell you, these workers love their job. They get washed in feces, toxic substances, all kinds of things are put in garbage. They attack at night gun bullets, they have to work in hostile areas. Some
Hello.
substance touches workers. They smell stink for 3 days. They're bathing. For years, for decades, they were asking for upgrades to match the job. And they don't get the upgrade. So they see that the sense of worth, they're not getting the sense of worth. And not to be stripped of everything in the name of austerity or to be grateful they got a job, they are not being labeled the villains. And the general public out there does not understand the sanitation issue. Sanitation workers are given human service even within the 5 days that may even be more compact then if it spread over seven, these workers are loyal and committed.
I can second that. I will second that with you with the SSA workers, and particularly ones in St. Philip.
Cannot be matched even by no private sector agency. Mm-hmm. In fact, as I speak to you, even the private hours that are being paid $1,600 a day, they're being paid by time and not by tonnage. Those private hours right now, and they don't understand that arrangement, should have been paid by tonnage, where they come in with a wage certificate and paid by tonnage. They're paid by time. They get $1,600 an hour, a day. Mm-hmm. While the sanitation worker works for a few hundred dollars to do it and less.
Yeah, but Wayne, Wayne, stick a pin. I'm a little lost. So what you're saying to me is that they're negotiating some cutbacks for money, but haulers are still being paid
$1,600 a day. Okay. They're paid by time, not production.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What sanitation brings them in terms of tonnage is superior. It is double or triple what the private hauls are bringing in per day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the level of production for a sanitation worker. There's a lot of truth here that needs to be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So those private haulers arrangement, which continue, because people got sanitation workers' vigilance, they are paid for time. So if a fellow goes there and Jones and take his time and slow down, and he picks up 110, it is going to be paid $1,600.
So are they saying then that if they could find time, if they could find money, sorry, for private haulers, basically they should be able to find money then for the SSA workers?
Ma'am, you said it. You see, the general public does not know the true story, and that poor sanitation man that may not have a voice out there is being ridiculed. And this rhetoric about work to rule, they are not on the work to rule.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to
dictate the policies. They continue to move. With alacrity, they work assiduously, and they are very committed. In fact, I continue to commend them. In fact, kudos to all sanitation workers from NUPW with the excellent job they continue to do, despite the lack of equipment and despite, you know, that their terms and conditions are being downsized virtually to nothing before giving any incentive. I commend them and I salute them.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you so much. And I will share in those sentiments. I must say, I have the utmost respect for the SSA. I love my guys in Union in St. Philip. They're always so sweet, always greet me with a smile. We always have a little quick chat, even if it's just, you know, two minutes. And I hope that everything works out for all parties concerned, because as we try to rebuild
we hope there's some amicable solution.
But that's what you guys are there for. The unions, I must say, you know, continue to be a union, continue to do your best, because the workers in this country need you, and they need for you to act on their behalf. And we also need for both parties, whether it be the government and the workers, to be fair. And everybody's not going to get what they want. That's the art of negotiation. But people are going to at least meet me. Meet me halfway type of thing. And let's think, nobody should be a dictator, and this is what it is, and that's it, and so on and so forth. The union can't do it. Neither can the government do it. We have to respect each other.
I was saying my final words, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really convinced, right, that even under a program, there's not latitude to look to exempt critical areas and give some latitude to how the functions in the interest of the country.
I believe so,
I'm
too.
I'm not yet convinced.
But I believe it can be tweaked. I think that with everything,
it can be tweaked. I think it can be tweaked.
But again, anybody wants to say different, feel free to call us on Brass Tacks and tell us if there's anything in the BERT program that can't be tweaked. But thank you very much, Mr. Walren, for calling on behalf of the NUPW and the SSA. Fingers crossed that the SSA, you will come out on top, as well as the SSA admin aspect of it, in terms of the financial aspect of the SSA. I hope that you guys find the balance somewhere. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning.
Yes, John.
Oh, you got cut off. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to introduce things quickly, but I want to respond to the, even if the guys were demanding all the time, right? If this garbage is going to get cleaner, the possibility exists that an epidemic can happen in Barbados. I can guarantee you it is going to cost much more to get rid of that epidemic than to pay these guys all the time. These people, they're out very early in the morning, I think 4:30, 3 o'clock, putting their lives at risk. Because we know we're getting on over popo. Right? And they think that. I always said there are three things that money should not be looked at in a country. Education, health, and security. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, no. I won't run through these things. You know what it's not about that? We come and we criticize day after day, including myself. I would like at least one day. Or people come and list the criticisms and directly after that offer a solution to the criticism.
Well,
if we can't do that.
Okay. Huh? Well, no, I agree with you. But in all honesty, Mr. P, we have a full board. And I want to thank you again for calling back again because, you know, you got disconnected. So, you know, you can always reach us again tomorrow. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It is now 11:38. Just want to read a few WhatsApp messages, just one or two quickly. Good morning, Joanne. This is 5 weeks now. We have not seen a garbage truck in Mount Pleasant Gardens, St. Philip. They're begging for a garbage truck, Mount Pleasant, St. Philip. The SSC and the union, this is another message, are being ridiculous, and I will not read the rest of that. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Psalms 145:8. A blessed good morning to you, Joanne.
And to you.
This is Mr. Harvey Culture. How are you doing?
I am very well, and you?
How are the children?
The children are well. Thank you very much for asking.
No problem. I'm a father as well, so I'd like to see that and make sure that all children are taken
care of. Well, I hope that yours are okay, too, as well.
They're at Bible school right now.
Oh, good.
Last week of Bible school.
Okay.
So I'm here this morning because, you know, my line is agriculture, and that is my livelihood. And, Joanne, I realize now that you are St. Philip individual, and I think that the Minister of Agriculture resides in that area as well. I don't know if you know him personally.
Well, I know him. I don't know where he lives.
Right, but I don't know if you come across him before me. The monkey situation is still bad.
I've heard you about, and I know how bad it is. Trust me, I've heard a lot of farmers complaining and about it.
I don't want to be seeming like I'm up in your grill, Jaron, but do you happen to do any planting?
Yes, and
The reason why I asked you so, because, you know, you would only understand when the shoe burns your foot if you really put it on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, bear in mind...
Well, let me rephrase it. I'm trained now to get some planting done. I haven't experienced the monkeys
yet. But you know that you have to have a green thumb, Joanne.
Well, we'll see how green the thumb is in a few months.
The only thing that beats a try is a failure.
Understood. But we got a full board, so you got to wrap it up, Mr. Agriculture.
All right, I'm going for it.
Mm-hmm.
On a serious note, though, Joanne,
mm-hmm.
it is ridiculous in 2019 when government after government have said to John Public that no agriculture land will go out for housing or commercial buildings. And as I speak to you, it is happening all around me. And then the monkey area where the monkey used to live and their habitat have been destroyed, Joanne. All of their trees, all of their fruit trees, and the massive plant that used to go on in the estate, that has come to an end. And now we are moving good agriculture land, which is not arable land, and moving it from agriculture and putting it into a concrete jungle. And as you know, that is irreversible.
Mm-hmm.
And the monkeys are coming into the farmer's domain, Joanne, and they are reaping havoc on every single thing that they touch. When I mean, even if they don't want to eat it,
Let me ask you something so that we can help you out here. Have you contacted the minister or the Ministry of Agriculture? Have you asked for an audience with the minister, maybe a group of farmers, see what kind of solutions we can put on the table? Have you done that?
Everything that you're asking me, I have done. I have reached out. And here it is that nobody is paying Mr. Agriculture any mind.
Okay.
And I'm not speaking about myself.
Did you reach out alone, or do you have a group of farmers that experience the same thing?
Yes, because I try. I am dialogue with a lot of other farmers.
Are you a member of BAS?
No, I'm not a member of BAS, but I'm a registered farmer.
Well, if you're a registered farmer, you should become a member of BAS because it's a bigger group and one that can speak on your...
There are two different entities, Joanne. You must know that, right?
The Barbados Agricultural Society, the BAS, is that the one that... James
is done by the Grotto and
don't they represent farmers?
They represent farmers, but they are two different entities. That's under James Paul.
But isn't he the umbrella?
He yes, he's the president of the Barbados Agriculture Society.
So my point is, if you become a member there and you put your concerns there and you're a bigger group, so
yes,
you might
I
be able to get a hearing.
All right, I will take your advice on that. But saying that, to make a long story short, this is not nothing that is now happening. Really, monkeys are concerned. People will say you want to be inhumane, this, but Joanne, put yourself in a farmer position. You have built.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask myself to put myself in the monkey's position because
I
won't be able to do that.
I'm not going to ask that because I don't deal with disrespect. Okay. You know what I mean?
Listen, Ms. Agriculture, you're going to wrap this up because if it is that we have this monkey problem, and I know you said this before and you said it again and you bring it here again, which is fine. But in order to get help, this program has also been designed to put your concerns there. Let's see how best we can find solutions.
But that is why the only media that seems to be hearing me, and I'm hoping that somebody in the agriculture ministry, whether it be the permanent secretary
but take my foolish advice. You have a stronger voice in numbers. Go to BAS. Speak to James Paul or whoever is in charge. I believe he is. Join the group or the other farmers or get together with them and then ask for an audience with the minister. You can get stuff done a lot faster if you go in groups.
What I'm saying is that if you are a minister who says that you are loving and you are hearing the cries of the farmers, I understand what you're saying, but listen to me carefully.
He's hearing the cries, but
something in the pipeline.
But listen, Ms. Agriculture, let's be fair here. Listen, and if you want to be businesslike, you need to put something in writing. You need to go as a group. If you want to be taken seriously, do it the right way. And then you can come up brass tacks and say, this is what we did as a group, and the minister did not meet with us, and we are angry. Then we would entertain you then. But go and get that done. That is my silly suggestion. Please take it or don't. But it's up to you. All right. On to the next caller. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. Hello. Brass tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're hearing me clear? Good morning to you, Joanne.
Yes, good morning.
Blessed day to you. Actually, I'm calling, based on... It isn't only just that the garbage is not picked up into a rainy season. And a lot of the water that settles are moving this garbage from point A to point B. So it isn't only that we have a situation as far as the garbage not being picked up. We have another situation where a lot of the drains seem not to be clean. And as a result of that, the flow of water is moving garbage from one point to the other. Have you ever seen a chihuahua, Joanne?
Yes, a chihuahua.
I saw a rat a couple of days as a chihuahua. I come to the conclusion the only difference was that speed as against the chihuahua. And these are frightening things, we worry about we miss the serious aspects of the other area of concern. I think the other area of concern is not only the garbage is not picked up, but then the other area is the work that has not been done in order to remove the garbage, either that the people don't put out the garbage or either that the people who are responsible for cleaning wells and cleaning areas be back.
Well, if the regular garbage ain't getting picked up, how you expect all the other bits to be picked up too? I mean, you're creating more. We have a problem and we need to have it resolved and we need the trucks or right now, not that I, let me rephrase this. I would like to balance it between the private haulers and the SSA. But if the SSA at this time don't have drivers, the garbage needs to be picked up by any means. So we come to this stage.
Another point, I don't know if I've heard wrong. If I've heard wrong, I would like somebody to tell me that you heard wrong. A couple of weeks ago, I called the call-in program based on a subject matter in relation to a shed, cement shed at the port. I overheard a statement which said that no more cement would be placed in that shed. Which made me feel as if though that somebody was listening to the cries of, if not me, other people as far as that area is concerned. Quite recently now, that shed was almost empty of cement.
It's cementless. Okay.
Cementless. Now, what I'm seeing and what I'm understanding now is that it is more cement is being stored. At that point, I could only come to the conclusion that it might be stored there to convey to another point, but not to be stored to be kept at that particular time. Because the same way we're complaining about other areas in terms of problems. Say, for example, nobody has ever complained. You ever drive up the area of River Road?
River Road?
Yeah, you look at...
As in right outside of here, River Road?
Yeah, you look at the furnace and that is there at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that that output of smoke from that furnace moves right down in a westward direction, most likely to the people who live below it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really observe what direction it was blowing in, but yeah. Continue.
Like that, Joanne. But I think these are things that we have to pay attention to. These are things that when people feel within themselves that they're accumulating and going after one subject matter, when there's several other subject matters that we need to
Well,
look
there's
at
a lot that. Going on. And right now, as I drive around Barbados, the garbage is an issue. And as I pick up the newspaper for the last couple of days, and there was a video even this weekend of a lady with pleas for water, there's some essential services here that require some attention or at least some answers as to how best we can get it resolved and how soon. But Mark, I got a full board and want to thank you so much as always for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Diane. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, good morning, Ms. Haig.
Good morning,
dear. Good morning. I am calling on behalf of the residents in Foster Hall St. Joseph, Foster Hall St. John, part of Glen Burnie in St. John, as well as the residents in the immediate vicinity of Cabbage Palm in St. Joseph. Diane, this is day 10 without water. Day 10. 10 consecutive days without water, and also 10 consecutive days without valid reason for the water outage. This outage has been linked to the nightly shutoffs, but mm-hmm. if we let common sense prevail,
mm-hmm.
if you are without water for 10 consecutive days, it cannot be as a result of a nightly shutoff.
Because it ain't not coming back on during the day.
No, it is not. So therefore, it cannot be a part of a scheduled nightly shut off.
Mm-hmm. You could repeat those areas. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'll repeat the areas at the end.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In addition to that, the reason of low water levels at a pumping station, and we're supplied through ozone pumping station.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, once again, common sense would prevail and say to me that it can be low water levels at a pumping station. I know you have a history of working at the Barbados Water Authority, so therefore you could step in
mm-hmm.
and you can correct me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
but low water levels will have to be linked to a reservoir and not a pumping station.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be that there's an issue at a reservoir
mm-hmm.
that is impacting the pumping station, but mm-hmm. it can't be low water levels at a pumping station.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The areas, like I mentioned before, would be Foster Hall in St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far from Foster Hall in St. Joseph is an area called Cabbage Palm, which has some houses as well.
Yes.
There's also Foster Hall St. John. And this is also affecting part of Glen Burnie in St. John and surrounding areas. Like I said, immediate surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm.
10 consecutive days. I'm seriously appealing for some water. People have animals. This is rural Barbados. People have animals. The children are on holiday. The days are hot. We need water.
How is the tanker service? What about the... You see, here's my thing. And yes, I worked at the Barbados Water Authority before, so I am in a position maybe to at least wonder about one or two things. And right now, I do believe what we are hearing is that we are in a drought. And the Barbados Water Authority, I understand, will be here on Sunday with the minister. And hopefully they're listening and they're making their notes to find out what is happening. Because if you're in a drought, that's one thing. They really are not responsible for an act of God, all right? And I get that. But you have,
understandable.
You have to have a mitigation plan. What is the plan? So
not only that, Joanne, mm-hmm. like I said, without valid reason, mm-hmm. we don't know the real reason, because you've gotten that it is apparently nightly shut off. But like I said, mm-hmm. after 10 consecutive days, let's be real, it cannot mm-hmm. be a nightly shut off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm questioning how you're linking it to lower water levels at a pumping station.
Mm-hmm. The narrative I find for the BWA it can be a little confusing. What I think that when they come on Sunday, and with the minister leading the team, we hopefully will get a little bit more clarity. But for me, the question I would want to ask, and I put it here, and I encourage Barbadians to email their questions to brassstacks@starcomnetwork.net, is what about the mitigation plan? What about the personal tank program so that people can store water? Are the trucks delivering on a timely basis? And basically the community tanks, are they being topped up and serviced? So that music tells us that we are going to break for the regional roundup, and we will be right back after this break. Welcome back. I just got some information from someone at the Barbados Water Authority, reliable information. They said that they're still in the process of negotiating the overtime. For sure, they're going to go 5 out of 7 days, but they're going to go into shift more than likely. But to say that the overtime is no longer, certainly would not be accurate, because at some point there still may be some level of overtime at some point. But of course, the BWA, they're still negotiating. So let's wait and see what happens after the negotiations, because staff probably were panicking when we were talking about it and not realizing that the negotiations are not completed yet. And it would not be fair to the staff to be hearing something like that over the radio and not be informed first about the changes. So let me repeat, they're still negotiating. And so the Barbados Water Authority is not in shift system as yet, but they're heading in that direction. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Yes, go ahead.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling us.
I am calling with regard to the issue with the cement shed there on McDonald's Highway.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the immediate environs of the storage facility, and I've never had, or my community has never had, a problem with dust or anything like that. So I am really surprised to hear that Mark Williams is still on this issue. I mean, it really should move above a vendetta with Mark versus Mark. I am very happy that Mr. Maloney has taken the opportunity and taken up the issue of the reduction of the price in cement in Barbados. One would have to be a home builder to really get an idea of the difference he has made. And I have never met him personally. I have never even spoken to the man. But I know members of my community have benefited significantly by his effort to bring down the price of cement in Barbados. So we have never had a problem here with dust. I've noticed that the facility, in fact, is even better enclosed now than it was before.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't see that as an issue, and this should really now be put to rest. Let me congratulate Mr. Maloney and his company, however, in having reached some conclusion in the dispute they had with Trinidad Cement Limited, who for a long time had the price of cement in Barbados even more expensive than any other Caribbean country. So I hope that Mr. Maloney perseveres. And there's a number of causes that Mark Williams can now take up. If he wants some suggestions from me, he can come and see me. He knows how to reach me, and he can give him a number of causes that he can take up that can really benefit the community. On another note, we have been getting sporadic garbage collection, but we can understand, because I am not aware that the additional garbage trucks have come in as yet. And, I mean, this is our country. There are some things that we are going to have to grin and bear. And let us try to work with this new government and try to have them resolved. But we know that this is a national issue, and we are thankful for the collections that we get. We get one at least. The SSA tries to give us at least once a week, and we really appreciate that. But we understand there are other communities, and I speak from Westbury Road, but we understand there are other communities who are even less fortunate than us and not getting as many collections as us. And I hope for the best for them. But this is our country, and you know me, let us try to grin and bear and to throw our shoulders to the wheel and help this new government where we can. Thank you so much, ma'am. I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
And I appreciate you calling us, and I so enjoyed your contribution. Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Hi. Good afternoon, Ms. Haig, and good afternoon to the listeners. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome. Thank you for calling us.
Thanks. I'm calling in response to a call that was made yesterday with a person commonly referred to as the Statsman.
Okay.
Yeah, right. He at the time sought to downplay the proposed restoration of the Treasury pension to those persons who had their pension abated. I want to quote from the Pensions Miscellaneous Act. Let me first hasten to add that I'm not a lawyer.
Okay.
But in quoting the piece of legislation, it states, and I quote, "An officer to whom this regulation applies and to whom a pension may be paid under the Act shall have that pension reduced by the amount of the pension payable to him under the National Insurance and Social Security Act. The above process, which is also referred to as abatement, takes effect from the date your National Insurance pension becomes payable." The regulation refers to persons who would have entered the public service after the 1st of September 1975. The Statsman, oftentimes, he makes reference to the 1st of September cutoff date. But the piece of legislation that I read just now places an additional condition, not only the cutoff date, but it goes on further to state that the abatement process takes effect from the retirement date. And in the National Insurance regulations, that retirement date is on reaching the age of 67. So my interpretation is that the actual abatement, which is the cutoff, the reduction from receiving the two pensions that he refers to, is not at the present time, but is that when that person achieves the age of 67. That is my, like I said, I'm not a lawyer or not legally trained, but that is my interpretation of the regulation. I don't know what your views are on it.
Well, I'll be honest with you, while you were sitting here, just also remembering too that today being the 22nd of August, the error particular with the pension and the invalidity benefits and the mistake that was declared, I'm also hoping today to hear from any pensioners to tell us on Brass Tacks today if they've gotten back their checks as promised by the minister. Be honest, I was listening to you, but that also crossed my mind too when we talk about receiving both pensions and what the accountant general is the person that he should have liaised with. I guess that's what the Statsman was talking about when he said that two ministers came and said something totally different. What you're reading, if it's there, what is there versus what the... what is being said, of course, there's some clarification needed because you're saying one thing and then he's saying something else. But at least you've declared your hand to say you're not a lawyer. Neither am I.